Okay, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph tells us, it says that you should inform your children, and then it says in Ksiv Basra afterwards, Yom Asher Mavz Lefnei Hashem Kachod Bechorev, you should remember the day that you stood before Hashem your God at Chorev, i.e. Har Sinai. Malahalan, so the Gemara knows, wants to know, what's the connection between the two things that you should tell your children in the future, and the fact that we stood at Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, just like over there by Har Sinai, when you got the Torah, Be'ema uveyira, there was awe and fear, Bereses and shaking, ubezeya af, and this great emotion. Afkan, so too, when you learn Torah yourself, it should be Be'ema, Be'ira, Bereses, ubezeya. It should be in the same way, when you learn Torah, it should be in the same kavod, and the same attitude, and the same demeanor, as we got the Torah from Har Sinai. And Rashi there, on that Gemara says, what's the source? I don't have it here on the sheets, but it's in this week's Parsha. Rashi says, Dichsiv vayar ha'am vayanu. And the nation saw and they were shaking. They were shaking by Har Sinai. This is reflective in what occurred at Har Sinai and in the way that a person should learn Torah. Comes the Baal HaTorim on that Pasuk, also not here in the sheets, but the Baal HaTorim says that this is the source for swaying while learning Torah, to shuckle back and forth in a motion of intensity, to reflect the shaking and the movement that occurred from the Jewish people from their yira and their pachad that occurred at Har Sinai. This is also cited by the Avud Raham when writing about Birchas HaTorah. He says the minhag is to sway while learning Torah because of the shaking that occurred at Matan Torah. And this is also cited by the Ramah. If you look in the Darkei Moshe over here in Simon Memches, so he writes over there, Kasavra of Avud Raham, Tanagu Yisrael Hisnanea B'shash Shekudim, B'shach Shekorim, when they read the Torah, Kamot, Benesina Satorah, She'isa Beresas, and it quotes a pasuk that we'll get to later on. So the Ramah quotes this as well. And there's also a Gemara in Shabbos. If you look at the Gemara in Shabbos and Kovdal Amar Aleph, Mikan Shenasna HaTorah, B'manud Rosh. So what's the Gemara talking about over there? That is the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Kovdal, in which it goes through the different letters of the Aleph Beis. That Aleph is connected to Beis, and Gimel is connected to Dalad, Gomel, Dalim, and it goes through all the different letters and words that they correspond to and the meanings and the references between the shapes of the letters of the Aleph Beis. And there the Gemara notes that the letters in the Aleph Beis very often are kafaf. They're always bent. There are no straight letters. All the letters in the Aleph Beis are bent. And the Gemara says that this is to show the kavod and the great humility that the person learns Torah with. That when the Torah was given in Har Sinai, the people were bent over in genuine humility. And the Maharsham writes in his Chedushim there on the Gemara in Shabbos, that this is the source for shuckling when learning, because the person is bent over, and a kafuf, and the person is shaking before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Gemara in Erevin, in Daphne and Dalad, that says that Bruria, the famous wife of Rabbi Meir, she saw there was a Talmud who was learning, and he was learning quietly. He wasn't making any noise when he was learning. He was left, thought he was in the library. So Bruria went over to him and kicked him, whatever that means. And she said, "What's wrong with you?" It says, the Pasuk says, Arucha v'kol v'shmura, your voice when you learn Torah needs to be with a loud and movement and excited and animated. When we learn Torah, we're not sitting there reading a good book curled up on the couch. We're learning Torah, we're moving around, we're shaking, we're getting into it. And the Torah is arranged in your 248 limbs, it will endure. But if it's not in your 248 limbs, if your whole body's not moving and learning Torah, then it's not going to stay there. So says Bruria. There's a comment to the Master Vitri as well in Simon Tav Kuf Ches and the Kolbo, and they both tell us that we should teach the children to shakal as well when they learn Torah, because it will show them this idea to recreate the emotion, the feeling of Magad Har Sinai. And there's a Kolbo, he notes that David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ivdu es Hashem beyira, we serve Hashem with year, with awe and trepidation, which is reflected in the idea of our movement. So the Ramah and the Poskim and the Rishonim we quoted right now are talking about learning Torah. But one could definitely also transfer some of these ideas to the concept of davening as well. And this is where the idea of shuckling and moving comes in when it comes to davening and learning. That is source number one, our parsha this week, to connect to Maimon Har Sinai. Yeah.
Does anybody consider Hared, you know, Haredim?
Yeah, they shake.
Trembling.
Yeah.
Part of the same idea?
Possibly. Nobody quotes it in regards to, I didn't see anyone quote the idea of being Hared connected to Tefillah and Torah, but it would make sense. It's probably part of the same theme as well. Next source, number two, the Tzror Hamor, the popular Kabbalistic commentary on the Torah in this week's Parsha as well. He has a different approach. He says that when we sway, when we daven and learn, it's because it helps us concentrate. When a person is in a movement, and you're in a cycle, it helps you focus with what you're doing. When a person feels the flow, and he cites the Kuzari, which we'll get to in a moment, in Chelek Beis, in Siman Ayin Tes, in the conversation between the Chacham and the king of the Kuzars, who says that when we move, it warms up the body. It helps get the juices flowing, the creative ideas, the emotions going, and to focus us on our learning to help us remember. And there's a similar idea suggested by Rav Yaakov Emden, but also look in the comments of Rav Chaim Volozhin here in the Kesar Rush, the collected ideas and short statements from the Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin. They write in Siman Chaf Tes, Hananuim betfila eino rak shel yishan. It's for one reason only, to make sure you don't fall asleep. You've got to keep on moving, because if you're standing still, then you're going to fall asleep. Kamosha kasav b'shla, we'll get to the shla later on. V'hamisnanea ba'atzmo merob teshuka v'taras halev matov. Person moves to show that he's into it, and how good is that? V'zula zeh hachiyuv litein hanefesh v'aregesh v'dibaro. But really the main thing is that the emotion should be in your speech. Don't spend all of davening moving around and not using your words. The main thing is the words. That's the main part of the davening and the learning. But, says Rav Chaim Volozhin, again, as we said before, it's a practical reason. It helps the juices flow, the emotions, the concentration, you don't fall asleep. That is reason number two. Reason number three. The Zohar, HaKadosh and Parshas Pinchas and Reish Yud Ches of Beis, is cited in many sources with the following reason. The Zohar compares Klal Yisrael to a candle and a light, versus the non-Jews, who are not compared to the candle and the fire. The Jewish people are always moving. We're always moving around. Just like the flame dances on the candle, it's never stationary, it dances up and down, back and forth. So too, the neshama of the Jewish people, when we come close to the Torah, we dance, we move. When we close to davening, there's just some emotion that rises up within us, like the candle on a flame. It gets us going, we feel connected to Hashem. We're so moved to the core by Divrei Torah and Tefillah that we just move from side to side because we're so emotive and responsive to the words of Hashem. And says the Zohar, the Goyim don't have the Torah, and therefore Goyim, they're stationary, they don't move around so much, they sit quietly in the library, not moving, they don't have the ants in the pants movement that the Jewish people have when it comes to learning and when it comes to Tefillah. And if you look here, in the dark emotion we quoted before, so at the very end, he cites the Rakanti in Parshas Yisro as well, that shuckling is alpi Kabbalah for different reasons, as the Zohar Kadosh said. There's an interesting comment in the Tzavas HaRivash, which is the statements brought by the Talmid in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov says in O Samaches, and he says that the movements are reflected, our coming close to the Shechina, and our union with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the same idea as the Zohar says in Parshas Pinchas. The fourth reason given is the Kuzari. Now, the Kuzari gives another practical reason. The Kuzari says that they originated from a period of time in Jewish history where there were not enough books, not enough siddurim. So what would happen? One Talmud would move in to read from the book, and then he would move back. And the next one would come and read from the book, and he would move back. And one person would move in to read from the siddur, and he would move back. And therefore, there was a constant moving back from the few siddurim they had in order to make sure everyone had a chance to read. And this movement of looking in the book, and then looking back to let somebody else read, and looking in the book, and then moving back to let somebody else read, is a practical reason to let people learn the Torah, and that is the practical way it came about through swaying and shuckling, according to the Kuzari. Reason number five, Rav Schwab on prayer, on page 167, he's really talking about, I think this is the piece where he talks about Ashrei, and he notes that in Ashrei, every alternating verse of Ashrei is Lashon Nochach, versus talking to Hashem. Each verse, first you talk directly to Hashem, and then it alternates, you talk about Hashem. The next verse talks directly to Hashem, and the next verse, then you talk about Hashem. It alternates in the person which you're referring to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Schwab makes the following point based on this, and he ties into shuffling. He says there are two ways in which a person can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is through Ahava, love, in which a person feels very close to him. The other is through yira'ah, in which one is awestruck by his omnipotence and omniscience. This may explain the ancient Jewish practice of shuckling, swaying forward and backing during tefillah. The forward motion expresses one's desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then upon reflection, one realizes that he is in the Ribono Shel Olam, the master of the universe, which causes one to reel back in awe. These thoughts are typically evoked during meditation. So shuckling reflects the idea that we come close to Hashem and we move back. We come close to Hashem, and then we move back. That will actually touch upon the way one shuckles and the direction one shuckles that we'll get to later on. That was reason number five. Finally, I left the most famous one for last. and that is the comments of Udraham. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, in Pasuk in Paraklam, hey, Kol Atzmosai Tomarna, my entire body, my bones speak to Hashem. So says the Abu Draham, and says the Sefer Chasidim and Os Nun Zayin and the Shuvali Haleket and the Orchos Chaim as well, all saying that we're simply using our whole body to serve Hashem. Shuckling is how you reflect Kol Atzmosai Tomarna. All of my bones are speaking out to a Kaddish Baruch. Every fiber of my being is calling out in reverence and tefillah to a Kaddish Baruch. And that is probably the more popular the reason brought, that we're using our whole body to serve a Kaddish Baruch. But let's discuss now, after going through the six reasons, what are the pros and what are the cons of shuckling. Let's begin with those who are against shuckling. So we'll get to the Shlah here on the sheet in a second. The Shlah is the most outspoken, but let's begin with the Kaf HaChaim. The Kaf HaChaim here in Or HaChaim Siman Mem Ches, where the Ramah spoke, he notes the Gemara and Brachos and the Rishonim seem to say that shuckling is only for Talmud Torah, not Tefillah, right? That was the first Gemara we quoted. Who says the Kaf HaChaim, that you should apply shuckling to Tefillah? The source in the Gemara was only about Talmud Torah. In fact, the Baal HaTurim also, we quoted, only mentioned Torah. It wasn't about Tefillah. Says the Kaf HaChaim, what are you moving around for regarding davening? Davening is meant to be standing still, not to be moving around. There's a tshuva of the Ramah Bipano that many of the Achronim cite in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. And the Ramah Bipano says that one should not sway during tefillah. And he cites in his Alfasi Zutin on Brachos Perakei that it says, by Chana, such a beautiful raya. What does it say by Chana? It says, Chana hi medaberes aliba rax faseha naos. When Eli saw Chana davening, what does it say? The Chana was moving her lips and speaking from her heart. Does it say that Chana had any other part of her body moving? To say that Chana was moving side to side, front to back, or dancing around? No. It's the only part of Chana that was moving was her lips. So it says to Rabbi Pano, if Chana is the epitome of tefillah, we look to Chana as the ideal form of tefillah. We learn so many halachas from how she davened, and the pasuk is careful in saying that it was only her lips moving. It must imply what? That nothing else was moving, just her lips. The Ramah also brings the idea of Kol Atzmosai Tomarna in Pesukei Dezimra, right? In Siman Mem Ches, it's Pesukei Dezimra. It's not Shemona Esrei. That's later on in Shulchan Aruch. So maybe it could be that the Ramah only allows this when it comes to pre-tefillah. But when it comes to tefillah mamish, the real part of davening, it should only be that a person is standing still. And a person should not move during Shemona Esrei. And this is the psak of the Ateres Zakenim here in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Sadi Hei. The Chidah in the Machzik Bracha says even though each person can follow his own custom, it's best not to sway. It's best to stand still. And there's a Sefer Minchas Aaron in Perek Tesavav who says that one shouldn't sway, and such people who are swaying aren't concentrating, they're foolish and they're lightheaded, and it's the wrong thing to do. Let's look at the comments of the Shla. The Shla writes in his commentary on the Siddur. He says, "Hamisnoeya b'tzilaso gorim bitl kavanos." It's bad for kavana to move during davening. "Va'amida b'li hisnus klal ozer al kavana." Standing still is better for kavana. "Umashamar kolatz mosle tamarna." Ah, but the Abu Draham said, "Kolatz mosle tamarna." My entire body speaks to Hashem. "Hainu b'shiros v'tishbachos u'brachos kriyashma v'talmud Torah." That's everywhere else besides Shmona Esrei. You want to move on there? That's fine. But Shmona Esrei, we stand still. We need heightened kavana. If somebody says you should shuckle during Shemona Esrei, don't listen to him. Tests show, says the Shla. Science shows us, we can see, that kavana comes better when you're standing still, not moving around. But Raya Bei Nacha, this is his very sharp proof. If you go before the king, if you go before the president, Vagufo misnoea kanua eitze hayar mitnei ruach. You go before someone important, you go before an important board, and you're moving back and forth, and you're shuffling from side to side, and you're moving around. No. You stand in front of somebody you respect and you want something, you stand still. That's how you show respect. Don't move around. So that's the show. What are you moving around for? It's not proper kavanah tefillah. It's not proper for kavana as well. There's a story with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very mach, but not move. I don't know if this is in the biography, but I recall hearing in other places that when the communists began to cause problems from the Rabbanim in Russia before Rav Moshe had to leave Luban where he was the Rav, so they called him in to be interrogated. And one of the forms of torture when he was put in the jail was to be he had to stand completely still facing a wall. And if he was to move, so they were going to shoot him. Now it was a way just to torture the Rabbanim, to make them so uncomfortable and just to make them so horrified of what was going on. Rav Moshe, that whole time, stood still because he didn't want to get shocked. So Rav Moshe said to himself, if I could stand there in front of this communist with a gun because I was so scared, then how much more so I should be able to control myself and stand still in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I could stand still for him, then I should be able to stand still for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Moshe did not chuckle. He stood still like a pillar. However, comes the Magen Avraham here in Siman Mem Ches. Turn the page. And the Magen Avraham says that many people would chuckle, right? And he cites the Maharil. The Maharil in the middle of the column on the right says, Kasav Shayam Nisno Eya Betzila Milafanov LaAcharav MeAcharav LaFanov. The Maharil, this is brought in Hilchas Tefila, would chuckle front to back. So we see not only the Maharil would chuckle, but he was careful in the way he chuckled, as Rav Schwab described. Close and then back. Close and back. Not side to side, rather front to back, says the Maharil. Now, the Eliyahu Rabba makes a point that a person shouldn't move his head like this, because that's a sign of gaiva. You shouldn't keep your body stationary and nod your head. The Eliyahu Rabba says that's a sign of haughtiness. And Lukutei Mariach cites the Mavar Yavach, who says it's best to move from right to left when you shuckle. To shuckle right, and then to the left side, and then right, and to the left side. So, there's certainly different customs regarding which way. But we'll see at the end of the day, it might not matter that much. Then the Magen Avraham concludes with the comments of the Ramami Pano that we quoted before. But then he says, each minhag is acceptable. He says, Uda Avid, Kamar Avid, Ukamar Avid. Each person should do whatever works for him, Uvilvad Shechavin, as long as you have proper kavana. And the Knesset HaGadola questions the Ramami Pano in light of the Sefer Chassidim that we quoted before. Sefer Chassidim is an important Rishon. We should care about him as well. And the Ma'ari Kash and the Pri Chadosh and Rabbi Yaakov Emden all say it's proper to shuckle. And this is what the Mishabur writes later in Siman Sadi Hay. In Sifkat and Zayin, the Mishabur says it is proper to shuckle. So what do we do? At Lamais at the end of the day, so the Prima Gadim says, and this is what the Mishabur cites as well here in Siman Memches, the most important thing is Kavana. If you have more kavanah, you can concentrate when you move, so move. And if you have more kavanah, you can concentrate when you're standing still, so stand still. The most important thing is to have kavanah. What's going to allow you to focus on the Shemone Esrei? We have so many other things to worry about during Shemone Esrei. Now, if I used to shuckle, and now I want to work on standing still, so I have enough time paying attention to the words and making the Shemone Esrei and realizing I'm standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And now I have to make sure I'm also not moving around. So whatever allows a person to focus and to concentrate on the words of davening, and to get through davening in the best possible way, that is the right thing, says the Prima Gadim, and that is what the Mishnah Berurah writes, Lahalacha. Next, let's discuss strange shuckling. Let's say a person wants to shuckle, but his shuckling is abnormal. It distracts himself, it distracts other people. What do we say about that? So Rav Yaakov Emden writes in the Siddur that it's not proper to move in crazy or abnormal ways during davening. And the person should move nicely and slowly in a way that shows mora and kavod to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chidah writes in the Matzik Bracha as well, you shouldn't move in a dramatic or loud way. And the Prima Gadim says that if you're davening alone, then you can move around any way you want. So you can shuckle up a storm because nobody else is around you to distract you. But if you're with other people, it has to be normal. This is what the Mishnah Berurah says as well. When I was in high school and I was a senior, there was a representative from the Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember the Yeshiva. Not one of the well-known ones. I don't even know what's around anymore, this yeshiva. So we went to Daven Mincha after he gave his presentation about his yeshiva, and he had the most abnormal movements during Shemone Esrei. And we were immature high school kids, and we were laughing hysterically because we thought it was so strange. A person's going to move in a way that's going to be abnormal to other people and distract them and, you know, take away from other people's davening. That's totally inappropriate. A person needs to be normal. You have to act in a normal way and move in a normal way and do things that are not going to distract other people. Your kavanah is important, but it's not at the sacrifice of the 15 people around you who can't concentrate on the bracha because they're staring at you after davening, wondering what you're doing. So a person should move, as we said, if that's good for his kavanah, but it should not be in such an abnormal and strange way. And this became actually one of the main issues between the Hasidim and the Misnandim during the time of the Baal Shem Tov. So, we quoted from the Mishnah before, but let's here look in the Keser Shem Tov, in Chelek Alef and Os, Reish Tes Vav. That is the sefer that records the ideas of the Baal Shem Tov. So, he quotes as follows, Rivash al v'shalmer, Yisrael Baal Shem Tov would say, K'sha'adam toveh benar, if a person is floundering and drowning in a river, v'umara b'mayim kamen esnos, and he's flailing around with his arms to try to save himself, She yotzi asked me in her mind to get out of the water. Hashotu mosa, that I was pulling him down. Bevadai haro mosa lo yislotesu alav va'al tnosav. They're going to laugh at him that he's making funny motions. And oh, he looks hilarious. Look how he's moving his arms. It's so strange. He's trying to save himself. He's drowning in the water. So too, when someone is davening, if he's making interesting movements, says the Baal Shem Tov, don't daven on him. He's saving himself from the waters of the impurities around him. He's using the shuckling to garner all of his kavana and to save himself from the things of this world that are pulling him out of this world. And therefore, says the Baal Shem, don't laugh at him, because he's like a person who's drowning and flailing and trying to save himself. And therefore, says the Baal Shem Tov, person has strange moves from Shemoneh Esrei, don't laugh at him, let him do what he wants to do. Now, the importance of shuckling is mentioned also by other of the early Hasidim in the Tzatzal Katan of Melech Lejens. He writes about the importance of shuckling. The Yira Kadosh said that Hasidim daven later because they need time to get the body going so they can make sure they have proper shuckling and proper movements of the body. And Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev would sometimes shuckle so intensely that he would faint from the movements. So certainly by the early Hasidim, this was the norm, and the Misnagdim had a lot of issues with this. Rosh Shlomo of Chelm, who was the Rav of Chelm, better known as the author of the Merkavos HaMishnah on the Rambam, so he critiques this excessive swaying very intensely. He says it's wrong, it's distracting, it's not davening, it's taking away from tefillah, and he is living at the time of the Hasidim, the early Hasidim, and he says this is 100% inappropriate. And he says there are people who don't know Gemara Rashi Tosos, and they're swaying like the trees. He says, use your energies to know Shas and Poskim. What's with all the movement and davening around? Just stop moving so much. So shuckling is fine, but it can't be to the excess that it takes away from everything else. Now, the Yaakov Emner in his Mitpachas Svarim, he noted, the early Hasidim had excessive and strange shuckling, and many of the Charamim that were written in the time of the Vilna Gaon, look at the language, some of the language is about the weird movements during davening of the Hasidim. The excessive moving around that was distracting and strange, and the Misnagdim had a lot of problems with this. And the Sefer Beis Rebbe, which is the earliest collection of stories about the first Rebbe of Chabad, Shneur Zalman of Liadi, so there's a very interesting comment there about how by the Hasidim they would do handstands in the middle of davening. And they would have, this was a normal part of the davening for some Hasidim to do handstands. And they was just the way they got into it and showed their Avos Hashem. So that was a period, I think now things have probably cooled down a little bit and the shuckling is probably a little bit more normal and mainstream, but that was the issue at that time. I just want to end with a remarkable story. Rav Eliyahu Chazan writes in the Yedei Eliyahu and Chelek Alef and Siman Samach Zayin. He was a Chazan, he was one of the Rabbanim in the Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. So he has a story, he has a tshuva about shuckling, whether it's appropriate or not, and he says, I need to tell you the following story. He says there was a Melamed in one of the towns in Europe who had a non-Jewish boy who was like his assistant. When he needed someone to go get the boys to come to Cheder and to get them to go take care of errands for him, so this non-Jewish boy would go and help him out. And he was hanging out with him a lot of times, and after a little bit of time, after a year or two, this little boy, this non-Jewish boy, began picking up on everything else that the Jews were doing, and he knew Aleph Beis and everything else, and he was just as good as the rest of the kids. So he figured, oh, wow, this is pretty good. I know as much, if not more, than the rest of the Jewish kids. So when the guy saw how much he knew, he left the Melamed, and he went to another city, and he went to Yeshiva on his own. And there he acquired more knowledge and became very big Talmud Chacham, and people respected him, and he hid his identity for being not Jewish. And he grew and grew and grew, knowing more Torah knowledge. And then he went on to the last city. And he went there, and he was a Talmud Chacham, he knew a lot of Torah, and he went to Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva was so impressed by him, and he led him into the Yeshiva, and he was like the top guy in the Yeshiva. What then happened is that he would cause such tsaros for the rest of the boys in the Yeshiva. He would pick on them and call them names, and really was nasty to them. And the boys were horrified. How does he treat us this way? This is terrible. But every single time they went to the Rosh Yeshiva, so this guy would go and be malshin on them. He would say terrible things about them. They're lying. It's not true. And because he was so smart, the Rosh Yeshiva trusted him over the rest of the boys. And they didn't know how we're going to get him to stop bothering us. And he's causing us such trouble with Soros and Agnes Nefesh. And what are we supposed to do about him? They couldn't figure out. Because every single time they tried to complain, like we said, it would always fall flat. So one of the Bachar in the Yeshiva said, I noticed that when he davens and he learns, he stands perfectly straight. Because I've never seen a Jew ever, when they daven or learn, not to move at all. It's like a pillar. He doesn't move an inch. I've never seen a Jew act like that. He says, maybe, I don't know, it's a crazy idea, maybe he's not Jewish. So I said, how are we going to find out? So one night they gave him something to drink, they got him really drunk, and while he was really drunk, they figured out that he wasn't Jewish. And he let it go that he actually wasn't Jewish. So they went to the Rosh Yeshiva and told him that this guy is not really Jewish. So she was like, oh my gosh, he's not Jewish. So he went in, he said, oh, you know, you're so knowledgeable, you know so much Torah, let's convert to Yiddishkeit, you know, it'll be good for you, you'll become part of the Jewish people, it'll be so easy, you already know so much, you're dedicated to our mitzvos, come on, convert. So the guy said, nah, I had enough of this, I want to have nothing to do with Jewish people, we're done. And he went to France. And he went to France, and he went to one of the bishops, and he said, I know a lot about the Jewish religion, we'll have debates, we'll embarrass the Jews, and they had a whole debate, and then there's a whole story about how it happened with the debates. And that's for another time. But says Reb Elio Chazan, what do we see from here? The movement of tefillah and learning, it's a siman, it's a sign of a Jew. Jews, we move. Like the Zohar says, there's something in the neshama, we move. Whether it's a lot of shuckling, whether it's a little bit of movement, something in learning, a person can't daven and not have any emotion. There has to be some sense of feeling in the body. Kol atzmosai tamarna. It's natural within the neshama of the Jew. We want to speak to Hashem through our bodies as well. A little bit of shuckling, a lot of shuckling, some movement to show our feeling towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu.